Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I'll tell you what, Rob King does a nice job with those documentaries.
He really does.
Sportsnet Pittsburgh.
All of it. I mean, it takes you back. They talk to people who have actually seen things, who were there. The video support and the pictures are unbelievable. That's, in order to make it work, that's what you got to have. All of it.
No doubt. We're watching the Nellie Bryles.
Remember him?
Nellie Bryles.
The Rainmaker.
Yes. One of my first sports memories when I was 6 years old or so. Was him falling off the mound in the 71 series, Bob. You remember that?
Yeah. He would always do it, and he'd fall chest first down.
Yes. Yeah. That captured my little imagination back then. It's like, what is this? This is fantastic stuff with Willie Stargell, this one, isn't it?
And Larry Boa. I remember him vividly.
They just showed Forbes Field. You said you went there once.
Only once.
I wish I had gone there. That's one venue I wish I had gone to. The clearest sort of picture of what it was came to me by surprise one night when I just ordered the movie, the original Angels in the Outfield. That was filmed largely at Forbes Field. So that gave me an idea of what it was like. Do you have a vivid memory of being in there?
No, I don't. I know we were. I know I remember just being there and absorbing it all as a young kid, but no specific memories. That's a shame. I wish I would have. I wish I was born a little earlier so I could have done that more.
Ron was
there.
He should have been born when he was born, Bob. I told you about the piece I did on Phil Coyne, the
great usher.
Legendary usher.
Great usher. Yeah, you did a really good job through his eyes, what he's seen over all those 100-plus years.
Back in 2013, I met him at a coffee shop in Oakland. And the idea was just to take a walk around the site of Forbes Field and have him tell me, you know, what he remembered. Bob, he remembered watching Babe Ruth play. He remembered, in fact, Babe Ruth hit his final three home runs on the same day, May 25th, 1935. Ron wrote a column off that game. Numbers 712, 713, 714. He said the players would take streetcars to the games. They would all be drinking at what I think now is the Student Union, used to be the Shenley Hotel, on the front porch there. And you said you remembered the Home Plate Cafe.
Yes.
From there.
Yeah, I like food venues, places that you can get food. I remember them pretty well.
He said that, this is a great move, fans would lug ice-filled garbage cans into Forbes Field. Can you believe that? You fill that baby with beer, Bob?
Well, I was telling you what I remember, too, is how people used to dress at those games. A lot of times the men would show up in complete suits and ties and top hats.
Right, exactly. I said, at one point we were walking around, you know, the site over there in Oakland. We were over by where a little bit of the wall is preserved.
Right.
And I said, just close your eyes and try to picture Clemente and then just tell me what comes to your mind. And I remember him smiling. And he said, I have the quote here. He said, I see the basket catches, the throws. Everybody stood on their base when Clemente caught it. Nobody tried to go from second to third, even though he was in right field.
I remember at Three River Stadium, him throwing the ball from the warning track, no bounces to home, just a line drive. I mean, you can't find arms like that. That was incredible. And nobody wanted to test his arm. They shouldn't.
And they just showed part of that as part of the Stargell thing even.
How about that collision at home plate? Manny Sanguin got run over.
Yes.
Back then, you were allowed to do whatever you had to do to jar the ball loose.
That's one of the dumbest rules in baseball history is this home plate collision thing, isn't it?
Well, now, you know, this year they're extending it to second base. You have to give a runner access to the bag, which means you cannot put a leg or anything anywhere near there.
To me, it's almost more sensible there where a guy's very vulnerable if he's trying to turn a double play where he's like just has one leg planted. But still.
I'm talking about the runner has an advantage now.
Oh, yeah. You know, wait, what do you mean?
At second base. I don't know if they're experimenting with it or if it's in this year where if you slide in, the guy who's at, for example, let's say you're picked off of first base, first baseman throws it to the shortstop covering second.
Yeah.
You got to give the runner access to the base. You can, in other words, you can't have a foot.
For your own safety reasons.
I guess it's all safety predicated. But it just seems to me that that's, it's going a little bit too much again.
Now, Phil Coyne ushered at Steelers games as well since the 1930s. He was at the Immaculate Reception, for God's sakes, Bob. He was there, and he passed away, 4 or 5 years ago?
What was he, 101?
Something like that. Yeah, maybe longer than that. I can't remember. He was there for Maz's home run. His job was to work the Yankees dugout. He was working behind the Yankees dugout. He said, part of our job was to keep people off the field. We didn't even try. At age 95, you know what his secret was to longevity? 2 Oreos and a glass of milk before bed.
I thought you were going to say 2 Oreos and a fifth of vodka. But whatever. That goes to show you that there is no rule one way or the other about your longevity. It is genetically controlled and... it could be anyone at any time.
I know, but I'm thinking about trying that now that I read it again. 2 Oreos and a glass of milk. I love that idea.
Would you dunk the Oreos?
I might. And that led us into a conversation of what we used to have on The Fan here, and you were a huge part of it, was Legends on The Fan. Or
yes.
Legends of The
Legends
Fan.
Legends for The Fan.
For The Fan.
Yeah.
And one was Dave Parker, and you flew him in, you said?
Yeah, we did. We flew a lot of people in, Mike Tyson included. That was a legendary one. But we had Calipari come in, him, Jay Billis. I'm going to forget people.
Wow.
We had people that we had to fly in, and they wanted to come. We took care of that. And it was just an hour down at Capitol Grill.
I remember it was amazing.
And they sell out all the time. But it was just good conversations where you're just sitting there BSing.
And what would you do? You would moderate it and have a Q&A?
No Q&A, me talking to him, whoever it may be. Yeah, and fans would eat lunch, specialized price lunch, and you get to watch the broadcast.
I think we might have to rekindle that, Bob, and your first guest should be City Limits.
I would love that.
I think that would be wonderful.
I would be completely honored, even though I don't think that I would be worthy.
I think you would be. And I think, Bob...
Plus, you get a nice steak.
You get a nice steak. We should start doing that again. New legends have been born over the last 15 years,
right? Oh, there's
no
question. No question about it.
I think that would be tremendous.
Rick Tocchet was another one.
Jim Leland was one, I bet.
Leland was one. We also had Francona. We had a lot of people.
We have a couple of calls, believe it or not, Bob. I didn't think we were headed in this direction, but here you and I are accidentally watching a Pirates documentary.
Yes, and a weather forecast that I don't like. Oh, no, I do like it. 77 on Wednesday. How about that?
Yes, I'm golfing today, hopefully. What was I going to say, Bob? It feels like a bar room.
You said there are people on the phones. That's the last thing you said. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It feels like you and I are just sitting around on our bar stools right now, which is sort of the feeling that I think would be wonderful to affect on this show, and I think we do, don't you?
It's just sitting around talking sports, and wherever direction it ends up, it ends up.
Did you know Nelson Briles?
Nelly? I'm not well known, but I did meet him a few times, yes.
Look at Parker. Was there any more intimidating player in baseball history than Parker in his prime?
I think so. Bob Veal on the mound.
Bob Gibson, you mean?
No, Bob Veal.
Bob Veal? Really?
Well, Bob Gibson's another story, but Bob Veal from the Pirates' point of view?
Yeah.
He's a left-hand pitcher, 6'6", whatever he was. He would wear glasses, and he knew, because he made it known that, sometimes I can't see through these glasses the right way, and he would be deliberately wild.
I like that.
To make you think that, oh my goodness, he's going to come after me. He's wearing his glasses, and they're steamed up.
Effective wildness. I like that.
You remember the mad Hungarian?
Al Hrabowski.
He had that same vibe. Where he would glance at you and stare at you. And
so did Goose Gossage, right?
Yeah. The ones who were really intimidating just brought the stuff. You can't intimidate. A lot of people think, grow a beard, you'll be a good closer. No. You can grow a beard all you want, but you better have 100-mile-an-hour heat.
And athletes can still be intimidating, by the way, I think. Even in modern, I think Skeens intimidates batters.
There's no question. His confidence comes at you. He's not afraid of anyone. They know it. I'll tell you another guy who's intimidating to pitch against would be Juan Soto. He stares down people all the time.
Yes.
But he's really good. He's drawn more walks, I think, in his first 5 years in the majors than most everyone in the history of the game.
I think it's harder to be intimidating these days as a pitcher because the batters go up there in a suit of armor. Barry Bonds being the most famous example when he started doing that, right?
Now they all do. They're all wearing stuff to protect themselves.
Limits, do you have a phone call on this?
I have a few. Here is Jim in the North Hills.
Hello, Jim. Say hello to Bob Pompiani.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Bob. How are you, Bob?
Doing good. How are
you?
Go ahead.
I'm good, thank you. Hey, I wanted to chime in on the Forbes Field discussion. I'm an older guy. I'm 74, and I remember my first game there. My dad took me in 55. I was five. I can still remember it vividly. Went to a lot of games over the years. Yeah, I was 10 when they won in 60, 21 when they won in 71, 29 when they won in 79. And I played there in high school in the Whipple playoffs, which was pretty cool.
That is awesome. Is it your favorite Pittsburgh venue of all time, Forbes Field?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, think about how big that field was. You know, the batting cage, they take BP before the games, and then they would drag it out with a tractor
into center field.
It was in play out there.
Yeah, they'd leave it there for the game. It's unbelievable, Bob.
No,
what's your favorite sporting venue in this town in all the years you've been alive? Your favorite venue?
Well, at first when the Peterson Event Center happened, when they were really willing, I thought that was a cool place to be. I think I still, in my heart, have like an affinity for Civic Arena / Mellon Arena.
Yes.
I just like that
yes.
place for some reason.
I've got a giant framed photo
PNC Park
of that.
Is, you know, I like what appears to be some, you know, old-time baseball setups. You know, Wrigley's that way, Fenway's that way. PNC Park, even though it's newer, it has that vibe to it.
For sure.
So I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm partial to the arena, the Civic Arena, the Igloo, because I worked there. That was my first real job here, was covering the Penguins as a beat writer. And then, like that gentleman, Three River Stadium, because of an attachment with my dad. We'd come on pilgrimages from Buffalo to see my favorite team, the Pirates, in the 70s.
They were a lot of people's favorite team.
Yeah, we came here right after the Madlock trade and saw him, one of his first games at third base for the Pirates.
That was a great trade for them, and it won them a championship. He had that little, you know, almost half swing, but he was really good at putting the ball in play. And I thought, what was he, a four-time batting champion?
Yeah.
I mean, he was terrific.
Limitless Wonder, we've taken up too much of your time, and I apologize for that. We were supposed to do the Express right here. We can still do it if you'd like.
No worries at all. Entirely up to you, because there is some new breaking news from Pitt. Alan Green announces that they've added two executive leadership appointments, Brad Ust, I think that's correct, U-S-T, and Kyle Bruce. So Ust will serve as Senior Deputy Athletic Director for Administration. He will focus on the Panthers' competitive excellence and advancing strategic priorities for the overall department, and Bruce will join the Panthers as a Senior Deputy Athletic Director for External Relations and a Chief Revenue Officer,
yeah,
overseeing Pitt's external units and having a strategic focus on revenue generation operations. So here's further trying to buy into NIL, well, like we just talked about.
Just call him
about.
The money man. Yeah, just call him
right.
the money man.
I was just going to say.
His job is to go out and get in your pocket. That's what he's doing.
I was going to say, a lot of big words, fancy words, and job titles there. It boils down to two words. Find money. That's it.
Make money. Bring in money.
Show me the money.
That's it. All right, Limits, why don't we get to that next?
Sure.
With your the Express, we'll take a little trip around the NFL, and then we'll get back to Steeler quarterback drama as we all sit around and wait on Aaron Rodgers. That's what we've been reduced to, is waiting around for Aaron Rodgers. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. Where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, that was a wonderful trip down memory lane. From your childhood, the game that stands out from any sport that you went to, maybe your dad brought you to a game, yeah. Is there one that you hold forever? For me, I guess I was still a kid, although I was probably closer to 20. For me, it's Bills 51, Raiders 3 in the AFC title game. That was Buffalo's version of the wild card game here, which was decades of pent-up frustration and rage all let out on the same day.
I like the Steelers beating the Ravens in the AFC Championship game and just how it happened, that big interception by Troy Polamalu.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, though, at Three River Stadium, there was a doubleheader against the Mets. And it was a makeup doubleheader, I believe. And my father, and we had a bunch of people there. But it was fun to watch them win both of those games. They had to. I forget. I think Zane Smith pitched one of them. I'm not sure about the other one.
The one against the Phillies are you talking
about? No, that's a different one.
Yeah.
I remember one with John Milner hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, I think, or 10th. Do you remember that?
Off Tug McGraw. No. Now I'm getting those mixed up. That was Ed Ott off Tug McGraw. But John Milner hit a big home run.
Yeah. I think it was a pinch hit grand slam to win a game. I mean, all that stuff. I remember being there when Mike Schmidt hit his 500th. I thought that was cool to watch.
Were you there the night Parker wore a hockey mask?
I don't think I was there for that. I remember that, though.
Legendary stuff.
But even the Penguin stuff is, you know, back in the day when Mario and those guys won those championships, that was awesome to see.
Oh, man.
Especially at that place.
I was working in a parking garage then, Bob. In fact, I was the one taking tickets for people parking for those games at the Chatham Center.
You had a lot
of
jobs
garage.
I just discovered.
Yeah.
You've been everywhere.
I fell in love with a fellow. She was working in the parking little thing next to me. And then years later, we actually went on a couple of dates, Bob. It was a miracle. She didn't like me then.
But that was the common bond. You said, hey, I remember you. You were right next to the booth.
Yes. And I used to try to talk to her, and she wanted no part of me then. But then years later, we met at an exercise club and went on a couple of dates. It was a miracle.
Savvy old news hound, Bob. Yeah. Very savvy.
A savvy young news hound. That was about 50 pounds ago.
Or did she remember you?
Good question. I remembered her. She had no recollection. I never even entered her consciousness when we were working together. It's like, you know, get this person away from me. She was always reading a book, I remember.
See, that's what attracted you to her. You know, reading a book, digging deep.
Sure.
Savvy old news hound. What did a savvy old news houndess? Houndess. What is the word?
The hound was hounding there,
Bob.
The hound
was hounding. The hound was hounding.
All right. That's enough.